Friends, we turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I begin with the very first verse. So 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. I'm thinking this morning about mistakes in seeking conversion. Mistakes that people make when they want to be saved. Definitely, we expect that to happen, but thankfully we have answers in Scripture. They didn't come on a paper and from so or a bit more person more a bit radius piece on a year into a could be a or more in Hunyan Kopon and Quadiano. Now, the example of Naaman is a very perfect one, because this is a man that would be healed physically, really, but at the same time he would experience a spiritual blessing. So you realize that his healing, or the blessing the Lord was giving him, was not just the physical, the one for the body, but the Lord will heal his soul also. And so it gives us a very helpful example here. But Naaman will make very serious mistakes. Thankfully, he will be able to correct that and receive the blessing, both the physical as well as that for his soul. And so, friends, I thought upon this man. This is the period of a king called Jehoram, the son of Ahab. That is time that this man from Syria, which is in the north of the land the Lord gave to the people of Israel, come down to seek a help from Israel. Syria had been a superpower at some time, and so they were having a measure of influence over the nations around them, including Israel at some point. But when the Lord had stood up for his people, they had been able to throw away their influence. Yes, Emreyes and Himbia Yefan Jehoram Abreso Ewo Israel and Epapani Ahab, what kind of scripture Kakano, Obekai Ahab, Sao Hininua, Ota Eye Asodi, Bebreti, and Yankoponimreso, and a Salmon with the AAC. It says Salmon with the AAC and Yentrayan for some could be coming and said. Erade ansa papen hunam enkwa yare o sa ne kranse yare into maye sa adisia na yamfasi ye no. Friends, I wonder whether you are converted. Everyone here worshiping with us, are you converted? Are you saved? Are you right with God? We do not just take delight in your coming. We are happy you come. You are most welcome. If you can come here every time, you'll be most welcome. But the burning question on our heart is, are you converted? Are you right with God? Has the Lord brought you to himself? We are not asking whether you are baptized or anything like that. We are asking whether the matters of your soul has been important to you any time. Have you been burdened about your sin and how you are living your life any time? Have you been brought to realize that there's nothing at all you can do to save yourself? You cannot improve yourself. You cannot make yourself acceptable to God. You cannot make yourself attractive to Him. You cannot. Because God has a holy eye. He searches in the motives and in all the thoughts. And every uncleanness puts Him off. And he cannot. You cannot come to him in yourself. In order for us to be accepted, he must by his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, wash away our sins and bring us to himself. Before you receive this blessing, you must come to the realization that only his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, can bring you to him. And put all your trust in him. What this means is this: you throw away every other trust, anything at all you put your confidence in, because you come to realize that it is a lie, it's not true, and you abandon all confidence, including confidence in yourself. You throw all that away. You would not want to look upon them, so you look to Christ only, and then call upon him. If you put all your trust in him, you will call upon him with all earnestness and agency to save you and to make you his child. And if you are trusting in him, you will keep calling upon him until you realize he has heard you. You wouldn't assume. You wouldn't simply walk away and say, okay, I think I'm okay now. No, you would wait until he has heard you. And when he hears you, you will know it. Because he will so change your life. He will so bring you to a sense that you are under a new government and a new order, that you would not want to live a former life anymore. And so, my dear friends, this is our burning question. Are you converted? And are you concerned about that? Okay, I want to assume that you are concerned about your soul. And perhaps once or twice, or perhaps a number of times, you may have prayed for salvation. You may have heard the gospel and said, oh Lord, I want to be saved, or things like those. And we want to urge you to examine this. Do you think the Lord has heard you? Do you think the Lord has saved you and brought you to himself? Or you are merely going up and down, assuming? If you do not come to the Lord rightly, if you do not come to the Lord according to his way, then you cannot expect to be heard. And that's our lesson this morning. If you don't come aright, you cannot expect to be blessed. So, how do people come before the Lord in a way that is not right? How do people pray for salvation in a manner that cannot be heard? That God will simply have to shut down their prayers and ignore it, and ignore them also. My dear friends, so that's our concern. And we are, I'm to some extent glad, my dear friend, that these things are in the Bible, so we can all look at it and see. And so come to the Lord in a way that we find ourselves, our prayers answered and a blessing granted. Because as I say, yeah, somewhere they have come as a saying, say, baby, so be, I say, Eradia Jiwana. And your index say, if you are a sorry, Ara. It sounds like, what about the no one rich when you now question Radius Christum Quem. Sarish, when Radius Christum come say, I'm pa. Obama, and you does one kind, you know, will be so cra. So do I dream crab a basso. Na, will be small friends say, oh, mobro, the sons of Nuncono bit me a Jew. Now, best send one could do say, will be with some a Jew. One more dream, one sorry, because I said, because of you, says the idea, my ass of all, and I be here to say. Baby son of Codice, don't so much you. No, Jew, I will be. A son said, Obama was a sad Tibiano, who abuse a fade, what by him may be for from. Won't to me any idea who I will pay. Now, what per se, a radi, if you are broke or son, my racial winner, and power up or shame. Say, be a one year radi, dear, one may radi, ha, ya somewhere it doesn't mean in a say. A bit me ever say, a be a maybe. One bomb pipe, say Rabbi Jimmy, person may Christony. But, and so say, we both trim, say, and then so kind as, and then so we can't be say no auntie. I just say, radiate you. If some say, bet me other say, woe, but a radio or choir, a radi ain't to me ain't you. If some say, one bow or choir, a simon. Now, in coffee, a song from Sono, and then a yepese doom come a crab, and from Swa. And confess some bomb person ready angel. So some of the mistakes people commit when they want to seek salvation. I'll be touching on four of them, but I must try and explain a few things first. My dear friends, may you listen for profit. So look at our passage there again in verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So we see a very important personality here, a very high standing, today we'll call him chief of defense staff in Ghana. So he's a high standing, high ranking member in his society. And not only that, he's also a very intelligent man and very strong and courageous, because we are told he's a man of valor. In those days, he would have been a well-built person, very able to handle all kinds of weapons and be able to plan out military assaults on enemies and succeed. So he would have been a successful man. And so he's a very high-ranking person in the government of Syria. And with all these honors, he had a big problem. He was a leper. And leprosy in those days was very terrible. Thankfully today, it can be cured. In fact, it can even be prevented. In those days, it could neither be cured nor prevented. It simply spread. And if you had leprosy, you knew that a slow, painful death awaited you, because you will wear off gradually. And you become, your senses will become numb, so that you can hardly feel anything. And then this disease would spread over all your body gradually, and then begin to waste it away. You will come off in bits and pieces, as it were, and then gradually you will begin to die a painful death. Not only that, this disease would also make you such a person that is abhorrent in society. Nobody would want to come close to you, because people fear that you may spread it to them. And it disfigures you. It so takes off your beauty or your appearance, or the beauty in your appearances. It takes all of them away before it kills you. You see why in the Bible it's used to describe sin? Sin does that. My dear friends, you may look upon sin with pleasure, but that's what it is. Sin disfigures. It takes away your beauty. Friends, I don't want to spend all my time here. Years ago, there was a... Nobody knows him, so I think I can talk about this. Years ago, there was a man... I particularly admired him because he was a newscaster in one of the popular television stations, in fact, the national television. In those days, you know, he had a few TV stations. He was a nice man and a gentleman. When he came to carry out his programs, the way he spoke, the way he carried himself was just admirable. And then over the years, he got into politics, and recently he was speaking, and you could see the harsh words, the unkind attacks on people, things like this. My dear friend, sin, until the Savior changes us, you will lose your beauty. This is one of the things with 10 young persons. Dear friends, unless the Lord saves you, every beauty you have, not the physical beauty of character, will be lost. You cannot be trustworthy anymore. You will be a liar. You will cheat. You will go angry. You will be proud. Dear friends, sin disfigures. It takes away everything. Sin also is incurable. It cannot be cured. Naturally, only the Lord can deal with that. Sin spreads. It starts a few problems here and there, you think, but it spreads over all your life. So is sin, my dear friends. And what is quite striking is that it is a disease of an important person. This is an important personality, and yet he had this disease with him. I'm sure everybody knows that even in the physical life, this is true. Everybody has some trouble, isn't it? Some health trouble or some kind of problem that is so disturbing. That's what we'd have always. Everybody has some trouble, one kind or the other. This is an important man with this trouble of leprosy. But there was help. This help was so clear that even a little girl knew about it. Look at verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So a little maid, now the fact that the Hebrew art little means that this would have been a young person, probably even before her teenage, so something around probably from 9 to 11 thereabout. We cannot be absolutely certain, but this a little maid waiting on Naaman's wife. And she said, verse 3, she said unto her mistress, "Will God my Lord wherewith a prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This little girl knew that there is help in Israel, in the city of God, where God has revealed himself to his people, where God may be known personally, where God has spoken and given his word. Even a little girl knew that there was a help. And so she told the members of the house. And so scripture ka se no wo kwata. Na kwata Bible emre bia odie mfatum fasedi boni so etie ho. Boni wuntimi into us said your kwata wuntimi into us no. Boni etre yeah, what do you saw me? What problem? Kitwego me bufu huwa wodi eche si radia nyawo fufra. We don't say sunny. Wunye nkaeni nina. Boni wohoi nsiya se eselo. Be iwa kuwa fingi na efivo. Mho sefe fwe ni swodi e si biwa nusa wakasa anawo kuntoka anawo ye nyoma bi no biaba kasa. Oh, se sanoti e. And I be here to say, oh, be a bayer, sir. Could you say, Radi Jesu Christo, ye and for from? Near say, Radi to me, sir, must say, I could abofraki to umpo in him, sir, when young copoin cheno, and one bit me, I sir, papa, dear. And so there was a hope that can be held, even a little girl knew it. Neaman yaridia, and so I could a kit or cram in the say, obey me, young boy. My dear friends, and that's the good news. The good news is that though sin deforms and ruins, there's help. The Lord is able to bless and to deal kindly with us. Eradibeti me Israel, and I am for fro. Eradibeti me again abaninche. And sa se boni yasa kwata no se ensa. Eradibeti me ayadini na for fro. Oh, you read Jesus Christ mo. And then you pass the burning chain. Now, you so ashen. Now, also, they were so desperate. They were so desperate for help. So that, listen to verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Do you see their desperation for healing? To the extent that the words of a little girl will be so taken, will go right to the palace. And the king himself would write a letter. And they will go with so many gifts. And they were so urgent upon that. And he will go with a great entourage. People to go with him, they will travel with him as the servants, he will go with them. There's a desperation. Remember, if there were any cure at all around Syria, this man would have sought it, because he's an important person of those men. And so they were so desperate that if there was help announced anywhere, they want to go and explore that. My dear friends, to be saved requires such desperation too. Some people think I can become a Christian by simply being so divided in mind and desires, and I simply walk about, go to church, be involved in things in church here, rather than, oh, I'm saved, I'm converted, I'm a Christian now. Oh, my dear friends, if salvation costs the Son of God, if God had to give his Son to die on the cross of Calvary, then don't treat it that lightly. You can't do anything to contribute to that. But the blessing itself is such a huge thing. You must desire it with all your heart. You must desire it above everything else. And so we'll come to sign and kwajie with the wakumenina. And you bring in our Uber Yanko Ponch and so Michelle, and yes, went to me and so on. So they came. They came now to Israel. And then, please come with me to verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, so this is a part of the content of the letter. Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And the king was disturbed. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So we come to the mistakes now, the mistakes they made. Now the first one is here. When they heard the girl, did you remember what the girl said? The little girl said that, oh, I wish that my lord, Naaman, were with the prophet of Israel, then they would cure him of his disease. The thing goes to the palace, and it becomes a royal affair. A letter from the king to the king. And so it becomes a big man's affair now. So Naaman goes to Israel, and he goes to the palace. That's where he's going to seek the help. And he goes there to present the letter. So this is a kind of a high level situation. And he goes as a high level, a kind of a person going to seek help at Jerusalem. And definitely, that was a mistake. Because the girl didn't say go to a palace. The girl said a prophet. There's a big difference between that, isn't there? Or maybe kind of said. Abayonica said, so we be ko Yankopon Konsheni Ewo Israel dia. In Kobenya Yersa. Almost sorry happen or more or any tre letter. Or they come out or hinin so war Israel no. I didn't know quest where they ye a kasifwa semon. Nimpa kasifwa semon. In ti okoye no. And you know, Krana come to the himself, the king himself was so afraid and said that, oh, what is this man doing? Can I heal? Do I know where he can find healing? Jehoram was alarmed at what was happening. You know the first mistake people make? My dear friends, be careful to avoid that. If you will come to the Lord for conversion, oh friends, you must throw away every sense of personal importance. It must be gone from your heart. I am a big person. I am an important person. And I am coming to seek the salvation of God. And God must hear me. And he must answer me. I am such a wonderful person. Well, of course, this is really to go to the Lord the wrong way. Every sense of personal importance must vanish. Why? Because before the Lord, there's nothing like that. We are such a needy sinners, poor. We are only going to beg for mercy. Do you remember a few years ago, I think it was around the time of the coronavirus. I don't know whether people said it right or not, I can't tell, but that was what happened. And we heard that our president went to Germany to speak about some help Ghana needed, and we needed that. And did you hear the news at the time? And he went in a private jet. And some people said that if I were the German government, I wouldn't mind you. If you come in to ask for help, how do you come in private jet? Anyway, we don't know all the circumstances, so don't be quick to say right or wrong about that. That's not our point. Whether it was some emergency or whatever, there can be all these kind of, that may make some of these things legitimate. So we are not interested in those parts. But the point was this. The appearance was that if you came as a wonderful, important person, able to travel comfortably, why go begging for aid? If you go before the Lord in a sense of personal importance, obviously the Lord cannot hear you. Our prayers would never be answered. And that's exactly what God did. And he made his servant do. Because before the Lord who blessed this man, you see, God is so gracious. So he was so eager, if you like, to bless this man. God is so kind, so eager to bless this man in spite of his mistakes. He made his mistakes, but it was hell. So look at what he made his servant Elisha at the time do. Please look at verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Let him come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so, well, so they moved, Naaman moved from the king's house to where Elisha was. We don't know where it was at the time. And so look at him in verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, expecting a blessing. And listen to what the Lord did. Verse 10, through his servant. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Elisha himself would not even come to speak to him. A servant would come. Why? You see what God does? I come. I'm a very important person. I am of a high-ranking official from the king of Syria. And I've come for blessing from you. Look at me. This is a high-level case. Look at me and bless." Now, to your surprise, a servant, you know, a servant of a prophet in those days, even his dress would show that. And a servant comes to say, "Sir, do you see, the passage even that doesn't say, 'Oh, my master says you should go and wash in Jordan.' Do you read that there? The servant was straight on. As if speaking exactly as Elisha had told him, but straight on passing it on. And Elisha sent a messenger saying unto him, "Go and wash in Jordan." Go and wash. The first mistake, my dear friends, never come before the Lord. Never come seeking salvation in a sense of personal importance. Because you won't be heard. He will not answer you. Because he will never bless such as will come. So much confidence in themselves and admiring themselves. And a second mistake, friends, because the Lord will first strip off the pride. The Lord will first throw us down. Yeah, that's the Lord's routine. He will first throw us down so that any sense of self-admiration vanishes from us. So we may truly lift up our eyes to him. Then we can trust in the Savior. Look to him. He must first throw us down to shake off the pride before he can deal kindly with us. So friends, the first thing, may we come to the Lord only aware of our sinfulness and desiring mercy and pardon. Yemre radio was said, "You said ye yen yebo nyefwara, ne bebi sing humo bro wa ning chen." And yes, sir, e se radi, odien bofom na otiti sa adwinse me yenipa kese omitrim no efihansana. He cannot bless the one who is important in himself. He will rather set himself against such a one. A second mistake is here in verse 11. But let's pick up, friends, from verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." And listen to verse 11. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought He will surely come out to me. That word there. Behold, I thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand. If for the Hebrew for strike, they mean send and move his hand up and down on the over the place and recover the leper. You know what Naaman is doing? Whilst he's coming, he's saying, you know, I know the way the man should behave. I know the way his God must deal with me. He must, first of all, let his servant come out to meet me and then come to me and then rub his hand over the place where the trouble is. And whilst he's doing the call upon his God to come and then to heal the disease, he thinks he knows how he must be dealt with. One of the things that is so surprising, friends, in the world is that everybody thinks he knows how God should take people to heaven. You know that? Everybody has an idea. Everybody thinks he knows how God should deal with people. We know something of some of the things that God hates because he's written that on our consciences, for sure. That one we know. So we all know some things that we cannot do because God hates it. Because he's put that within us. But how God should deal with us, dear friends, we are absolutely ignorant. We know not at all. And so the gospel was called a mystery. A mystery is something that was hidden until God himself shows it. We don't know it. It has to be shown us. And yet the strange thing is, everybody assumes that he knows how God should deal with people. Haven't you heard? That's why you have all these religious groups around, you see. Somebody comes up with an idea. God should by all means be pleased with such and such and such. And they go for it. God should by all means accept such and such and such a practice. And they go for it. You see, my dear friends, please. Learn it as a fundamental thing about salvation, that unless you are taught it from the Bible, you would definitely get it wrong. If you looked anywhere and tried to get the answers from anywhere, you would definitely get it wrong. The Bible tells us that even the angels of heaven were trying to look into how God would save sinners. They were looking with wonder. How will God do it? God is holy. These sinners, people he has made, have corrupted themselves. We are hopeless sinners. How will Almighty God save such people? Even angels were looking into that to learn how it will unfold, to see how it will all be displayed. You see, so my dear friends, you don't know how God should deal with you. You don't know how God should make you acceptable to himself. You don't know it until you are taught from the Bible. From Saitosun Yenini, Brenea Man Bayano, Okasaya Senya Onim Kwaya Sesenyan Kopam Faso Osaniare, Tonuaka say, oh, Madrinia Messe, in some conscience crown babo, na webejinaha, na wa friend yan kopo, no dinin sa afifa me kwatana so, no way ye feel. On the Madrinia Messe. Me kase, kai se. Eba me se di enyanko ponin krofu enyanoa. Me se wa ni di mo winim shiara, winim shi. Jise radi eden yedi cheyansa. Eba nun kwaje mwa sama swabo fompo. Kodi se radi Yesu Kristo ba eno chone kase. Wompo no mo shishem. Nyanko pon be di ukran wa jim krofu. Winim se nyanko pon akase sa obeji ni mo yefo. But obeji we di ukran so. So friends, you do not know how to receive blessing from the Lord. Dear friends, you don't know. When you said Nipebia enim kwaya nyankopon fasu shira. Jesu Yesu nyefina semwasa. Mimagi ye mise. Behold, I thought. In fact, the Hebrew means, behold, I said to myself. So it's all me. I think. And that was a terrible mistake, wasn't it? Dear friends, you must learn the way of salvation from the Lord. For you to be saved, a Savior has to come and go to the cross of Calvary. The Savior has to be God also, so that he can be perfect and sinless. A Savior had to come and take our nature. We call that incarnation. He must take our place. And then on the cross of Calvary, bear the punishment for the sins of everyone who will repent and come to him, so that his own righteousness, his own acceptance with his Father, may be given to us. That's the way we can be saved. That's the only way we can be saved. Friends, you will not learn it from anywhere except from the Bible. And so you must come to the Lord, throwing away all confidence, all trust, and in repentance, trust the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll be saved, friends, have you done that? Are you holding your own private thoughts about what salvation is? No, you know, in our generation, the thing is, oh, what do you think? And some go, well, I think this kind of thing. I can foretell you about this. The day you are converted, when the Lord changes you, you wouldn't do that again. Because you'll become a student. You want to learn about what God has said. Not your opinions, but what God has said. You would not like your opinions because you would have seen how many times it was a foolish one and you wouldn't like them. And you would want to be ruled by the scripture. And with time, your understanding would have been so fashioned by scripture that you would not be holding on to personal opinions because you wouldn't like them. How wonderful it is, friends. So friends, learn God's way. Come to him. As the Lord Jesus Christ had to die for needy sinners, for us to be accepted. Let me mention another mistake. Oh, friend, this is quite intricate. Look at verse 12. As Naaman still complaining. Please let me start from 11, but I'll be dwelling on 12. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And then look at what he does. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He thought that there were other alternatives. You see? Oh, Jordan? I can think of Abana and Pharpar. Even if there's any water I thought to dip in and to be clean, I can think of them. How do you seek salvation when you think there are alternatives to God? How can you come to him? He thinks there's an alternative. And so, no, please don't think he's saying this. It's a very important thing because it presents a very helpful lesson. He's not saying, are you asking me to go and dip in Jordan? No, there are better rivers in my country. So I can go and dip in them. And I'm actually going to dip in them and be clean. He's not saying that. He's not saying I'm actually going to dip in them. He's simply saying, if it is only Jordan that I have to dip in and be clean, and since there are better rivers in my country, and they were hopeless, I never think they would be of any use in dipping in them and getting my leprosy gone, then the whole matter is simply a farce. Forget the whole thing. I'm going back to my country. There's no hope, no healing. I accept that. I'm gone. So he isn't saying, well, if there's this alternative, I am going for it. Because he knew that also was hopeless. And so he was simply leaving himself with a hopeless case. This is a hopeless case. And I'm going to just face up to it that it's all hopeless. The Testament says, and in Syria, I hear Papa crying, me, I'm a chromoa.
se ensuena na min kotomu dia enche ne nka metumi akọ akotomu na o dey bufu ekore se okọ na e ka se owo bi bi o chen friends, you know, there are people that think on the first part, think that there are alternatives to God. There are alternatives to the blessing God can grant. There are people like that. I wonder whether you are one of them. Dear friends, if you are not earnest in coming to seek salvation in the Lord, it's likely that's your case. You are saying in your heart, after all, if I don't come to God and trust Him and be saved, I can ignore that. There's something else I can be doing with my life. There's something else I can be doing and meaningfully, happily, purposefully do. Is that true? There are some things you definitely can do, but none of them will bless you. None of them can take away sin. None of them will change you. None of them will give you hope for life and for the hereafter. None of them will let you live a truly meaningful life. None of them will let you, when life is over, be with the Lord. Of course, you think there are alternatives. Friends, the blessings that God alone bestows, there are absolutely no alternatives. Okay? Some people have said, are there no alternatives? I don't think then that God is the choice for me either. I'm just simply accepting the fact that life is pointless, empty. I'm just eating and drinking and I die and it's all over and done with. And so I'm going to live my life that way. Dear friends, the answer to this. It's what the servants did. Look at verse 13. It's the servants that came once again, you see. This is a great lesson in humility, to humble this man. 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? In other words, sir, why don't you just try it? Why don't you just try it as he said it? Go and do as he has said and see for yourself whether what he has said wouldn't happen. And that's what we tell people. You say that there are alternatives to God, we say, try it and see whether there are real alternatives to God. We wouldn't encourage you, but if you'd be very stubbornly doubtful, we say, if you like, go and try it and see whether there are alternatives to God. And young persons are easily drawn aside by that. They think that they can shut out salvation, especially when they get to the universities or in the secondary schools, and they begin to think, wow, I think I've discovered here a life other than just God and things like this. I can't explore that. We wish you wouldn't go far. We wish you wouldn't remain in that state for long, because you'd be terribly disappointed. You'd be terribly disappointed, painfully disappointed. You would begin to realize that you'd have to sacrifice your character. You would ruin your character further. And then you would realize that the happiness you thought were in those alternatives were actually a lie. It isn't there, my dear friends. Why not simply listen to the Lord, repent, trust the Lord Jesus, yield your life to Him, and see whether He would not keep His promise, whether He would not bless you and bring you to Himself, and you will know for yourself that God is my Father, and whether He will not turn around your life and set you on a truly meaningful living under His government and blessing and care and protection, whether He will not do that. Friends, because of time, I just want to rush on. Now, will Naaman do that? Yes, he will do that. He listened to that this time. Look at verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Watch it there. According to the saying of the man of God. If he didn't do it according to what the servant of the Lord has said, there would have been failure. There would have been no success. According to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The blessing was proved. He proved the blessing for himself. And more than he imagined. He wanted his leprosy gone. He got a little child's skin. This is far more than he asked for. My dear friends, conversion has something in that too. You are tired of your life of sin and a life of disobedience. You want God to save you and set you free from a life of sin. He does that. He sets you free. He blesses your life and that changes you. But there's something more. Here you are. You find yourself having such a wonderful access to God. I can pray. I can receive answers from the Lord. My understanding is open. I can understand the Bible. I can see the purpose of life. I'm not wasting away my years anymore. I am living meaningfully. I am living for God. And these things, in fact, make us amazed and so happy. And our hearts are moved. And you know something else he got? He also, friends, because of my time, let me summarize that for ourselves. And I come down, friends, let me read that for you. And then I would summarize that because our time is almost out. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. I know for myself. Ah, friends, there's nothing comparable to that sense that now I know that the God who made all things is really there, and I am his child, and his eyes are upon me, and I'm under his government. You don't just learn it and talk about it and discuss it. You know. Your heart rests upon that. And at once, he wanted to worship this God. He says, he wanted to give a gift. And they said, no. Elisha said, no, this is free. Free? A little child came for free? They say of all these, what do you call the body sculpture? My people pay these, I don't know how much they pay because I'm not in contact with any one of these. People go and they want their bodies made like little child's one. He's an old person now. That person is about 60 or 70. And the wrinkles of old age are setting in. And the body, the flesh is hanging over the aspect of his body, and he doesn't like it. And he goes and have all them cut off, and he was shed in all manner of ways at a great expense, at a fortune. They pay heavily. Here is a baby skin for free. So he's amazed. I'm not paying anything. And they say, okay, then I will worship this God then. Would you allow me to take some dust from this land and go and erect it in my country? His understanding hasn't opened up, otherwise he would have realized this is not necessary. But, you know, God is so merciful. He's accommodating whilst he's ignorant, because gradually he'll be taught and he'll know better. But in the meantime, Elisha allows him. And at least it helps him. It helps his young faith to realize, I have no connection with idolatry in my land. I have connection with Israel. Even though I'm in Syria, Damascus, capital, I'm actually spiritual in connection with Israel. And so that's what we wanted. So I want some earth, some dust to erect an altar, and I will be offering sacrifices to God. Oh, friends, I must close. My time is up. This amazing thing conversion does. Elisha hasn't told this man anything yet. And there's something he himself instinctively learns. Let me read you that, and I will explain that in a minute, and I will close. Forgive me, friends. Look at verse 18. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. You know what he's saying? Elisha hasn't said anything, but he himself became aware. If I am worshipping this God, I cannot entertain any other idol. I cannot give any impression that I trust in anything else except this God. Oh, he remembers. But it is my duty to be going with the king of Syria to the temple, Rimmon, where Rimmon is worshipped. And when we go, it is my duty that as the king is going there, I'm his right-hand man, he leans on me as we go. And when we get there, and the king is bowing down, it cannot be possible that he is bowing down and I'm standing. That's it, merely a service I'm providing him. I must bow. Informally, he bows because he's worshipping together with the king. This time, he's doing it merely because the king is doing his thing. And he's only there because he's leaning on his shoulder. He's also going down so the king could kneel. May the Lord pardon me. May you not be read as if I'm still worshipping that idol, because I don't. You see how sincere he's become. No one would be there to have seen it. If he went back to his country and he was doing that, who would have seen it? No one. He's aware of God's eye. Friends, that's one of the wonderful things. If it doesn't happen to you, it shows God hasn't saved you yet. You are aware. God sees me. He sees what I do. He sees my motives. He sees my desires. I cannot pretend with words. He sees all I do. And I live my life right under his eyes. He sees every part of me. I cannot pretend. Dear friends, conversion is a wonderful thing. Oh, my friends, I have to close. Otherwise, there are several examples in the Bible. Oh, friends, it's only when the Lord changes you that in the very privacy of your life, you would hate all sin. You cannot say, I am converted. Out there, I'm not going to fight there again and quarrel out there. Oh, but I can be gossiping here. And I can be bearing bitterness in my heart here. And can be keeping the love of things and dependence on money in my heart. And trust in things here. Oh, but I will go to church and do all the church kind of things. But I can keep all these confidences here. Oh, friends, when you are converted, something nudges and says, but God sees. But the Lord sees. And you cannot hide that. And you'll be angry. You'll be displeased if you did that. And so in the very secrecy of your heart, you are made so sincere. If you are aware, friends, I close with this. When you are converted, the sins that people don't worry about because it's only a heart sin, like pride, like lusts, like covetousness, people don't worry about, you will be so alarmed, so troubled. If you said a proud word and found yourself trusting in yourself or things, you'd be so alarmed. You say, God sees. I'm having an idol in my heart now. And Almighty God sees. And I don't want to do that. Because I want my heart to be entirely His. Friends, you know why I'm stressing this? It is one of the chief things that makes you so glad that new things have happened. Because you realize that I was never like that. Now here am I. God has made me so desirous to be true and genuine, even in the very secrecy of my life and my heart. This is a blessing. If you will come aright, friends, avoid all sense of self-importance, because before the Lord it's a sham, it's a lie, it's not true. Come, my dear friends, only in the way God has said it. You cannot know God's ways unless you learn it from Him. Come in repentance. Come in trust in Christ only. What He did on Calvary only can save a sinner. Come, trusting in that only. Listen carefully. Hide nothing. Tell Him all you've done. But remember, there's so much that you have done against Him that He sees. Call upon Him in repentance and ask Him to save you. Sorry. And friends, as you come, come as somebody who knows there's no other alternative. Only God I come to. He alone can bless me.